This episode is produced with support from DBT Wellcome Trust India Alliance.
Welcome back to the Nature India podcast. After a long hiatus, we are pleased to be back with you with a brand new series around science in India. When we speak of scientists, what comes to mind? Test tubes, petri dishes, boring white lab coats in a boring old lab? How about mountaintops or the depths of the ocean, astrophysics observatories or remote wildlife sanctuaries? In this series called I'm a Scientist and This is Where I Work, we want to introduce you to the lives of scientists who work in diverse and unique settings, far removed from the popular stereotypes of scientists. Over the next few episodes, we'll be shadowing a scientist in their unconventional workplace and we'll try to make sense of their science by learning what a day out in the field looks like for them. First up, we hear from Ramanathan Bhaskar and Sushmita Bhaskar, India's modern caveman and woman, if you will. The scientist couple spends much of their time exploring miles and miles of subterranean caves.
And if you love caves, once you are inside that, it will spark your attention. And this would elevate your adrenaline and stir your soul.
Stepping into a cave is like entering a completely different world.
Ramanathan is a professor in the School of Sciences at the Indira Gandhi National Open University in New Delhi. His wife, Sushmita, works as a faculty member in the Environmental Studies Department at the School of Interdisciplinary and Transdisciplinary Studies in the same institution. Together, they work in a little-known discipline of science called cave geomicrobiology, right at the intersection of geology and microbiology. We ask them to take us on a journey into the mysterious world of caves. Join us, please. I am Shubhra Priyadarshini, and this is the Nature India podcast.
We surveyed the literature on this interdisciplinary field. We realized that there are 1,545 caves in India, but none of them have been studied from a geomicrobiological point of view. I always believed that we should not take the beaten path, but try something out of the box. Now, geologists are not trained in microbiology and microbiologists are not trained in geology. This was the challenge and this excited us. We had a strong gut feeling that this is an area where we could make new and interesting contributions. We could be pioneers in India in this scientific domain.
Before we really dive in, think about how many caves you can name. Ajanta, Ellora, Badami, Elephanta. Imagine 1,500 more you may not even have heard of. Besides the tourist destinations, you and I probably know very little about cave environments. Deep, dark, damp, even eerie. They hold a lot of mystery within their depths. So what does it feel like to be in there?
So we are entering this cave and then we have all our, our head gear. That is, we need to have our head helmet with the torch lights on, because inside the cave, it may be totally dark, it may be dampy, and you may not be even able to see each other. So that is the environment that you're going to face.
The most difficult part is to plan and enter the caves. Sometimes we have to use ropes to scale cliffs or waterfalls. Then we may get soaked.
And then you need to wear a very comfortable and breathable attire, because you need to crawl and you need to, you can even skid and fall inside the cave because of the slimy rock surfaces. So the first place where you're entering, there may be a little bit of light. After that, you're falling, you're actually going deeper into the cave. So all these boulders, very carefully, you're keeping your leg on one of the stones and then another, they may be big ones. Finally, you land deeper into the cave, which is down. Then there you're opening yourself to small passages.
Yes, I can imagine that must be pretty scary for most people, those who have a fear of tight spaces and the dark.
After crawling and trekking and, going into these tiny passages, you're entering one area which is quite big. It looks like a hall. And that hall is actually articulated with beautiful decorations, I would say with the draperies. Okay, in geological terms, we say draperies, but these are actually folded curtains. When you fold the curtains at home in a specific design, it's going up and up like you find in the theaters. So it looks just like that. And so these are really very artistic formations. Again, you find them with different colors. It could be light brown, then there are creamy colors. They could have shades of gray and green and so on. So then that interests you whether, how did these colors come from? Is it due to the living organisms? Is it due to something else? And then later on, you find the other features that are found in the caves, like the aragonite and the crystals. And these crystals, when you put your torchlight on, they shine in that, dark environments.
That sounds beautiful. Tell us a bit about the different zones in a cave. So when you first enter, it's the light zone. And as you go deeper and it gets dimmer, it's called the twilight zone, because that is an area where there's partial light entry into the cave. Then, of course, comes the dark zone. No light penetrates at all.
We enter deeper into the cave and it is totally aphotic. There is totally no light at all. And that is a dark zone. Here, it is quiet and you can hear the sounds of dripping water. Tup, tup, tup. There may be some water passages which are coming through. And then you get the sounds of some unique creatures that are really endemic for the caves. That is the bats which hang upside down. So that was actually scary for the first time when I entered the cave. It was scary that I saw a lot of bats. And then they also give you those sounds, and just like you're watching a ghost or a movie that is quite scary and it's dark inside.
And was there a time that was particularly challenging or scary?
One of the experiences I had was very difficult, because the cave entrance was very small. And it was very long at a height. So you had to get up and, crawl. And you had to jump a certain height. That was scary. If you do not have a local guide or you are not familiar, you can be lost and you can be terrified. Going alone is always risky.
In one of the caves, I also skid. That was in Sindine. From the top, I just skid down. And that was also like my heart was beating fast, and so that was a time I felt a bit scared, and I thought that, oh my god, we shouldn't break our bones, or sampling has its own fun, but it is also to be done very carefully so that you don't get injured in the process.
As cave geomicrobiologists, what the Bhaskars are doing is collecting rock samples, extracting DNA from them, and culturing microbes that thrive in these geologically isolated, always dark, nutrient-limited ecosystems. What can we learn from these microbes? Quite a lot, as it turns out.
Today, after the involvement of geomicrobiologists from caves all over, including India, we know that it is not only the inorganic process, it is the microorganisms. They can be as subtle as generation of carbon dioxide, which can become carbonic acid and responsible for formation of caves. In fact, understanding of banded iron formation, dolomite formation, cave formation, and weathering processes have been altered after seeing these processes through the microbial lens. Because these caves are not subject to weathering process, most of the actions, the microbial interactions which take place are preserved. And since they are preserved, they are the historical record. If we collect the rocks with these microbes, we can tell lot many things about these caves. In fact, in some caves, you could also tell about the past history of those caves. And these are the things we look for.
Cave geomicrobiology research offers practical applications in medicine, human health and industry, and more.
Because in the caves, you know, especially these are starved environments and low nutrient conditions are present as compared to the terrestrial systems. So these cave ecosystems, they are valuable for the astrobiology studies. Especially, let me tell you the example of the planet Mars. Here, the surface is inhospitable. And therefore, if you want to understand how the life evolved and how microorganisms can be crucial for the evolution of life, the subsurface may be the only place for these extant life forms to survive with access to recognizable biosignatures.
In fact, the cave biosignatures are very significant because for all space explorations, like for example, Sushmita mentioned about Mars, we may find cryptic life, that is hidden life, in the subsurface.
And of course, I had to ask, what is it like being a married couple who live and work together? What are the perks? What is the downside?
It provides us moral and professional support, and it boosts both of us professionally. And then if you have your spouse as your co-worker, then she will be honest with you and she knows your strength and limitation. She can criticize you. Two heads are better than one. And we use the power of teamwork to put larger ideas into action. No doubt, throughout the journey, it is friendship and companionship. In fact, I am reminded of Henry Ford's quote, "Coming together is beginning, staying together is progress, and working together is success." Of course, there are some one or two disadvantages in the sense that you need to set boundaries at work as well as at home. Then you need to prioritize your task and divide them almost so that no partner is overburdened because of the work.
Sometimes when we are writing a paper, it goes up even up to 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. the morning, and we don't realize that it is morning. But basically, life has been really good, and I'm grateful to the Almighty that I have a partner who is able to understand, and we are able to research together in this exciting field.
The Bhaskars are proof that a career in science can be far more uncharted and adventurous than other pursuits. Beats a desk job any day, right? We'll be exploring another fascinating workplace on the next episode of the Nature India podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share with friends and colleagues and check out our archives for more in both English and Hindi. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Shubhra Priyadarshini.
This episode was produced with support from DBT Wellcome Trust India Alliance.